Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Varadhari Vallabhari. Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Nana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Amadhava Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Damadava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Varadhari Janavala Bhagiri Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Varadhari Janavala Bhagiri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravanachari Ravanachari Yamuna Tiravanachari Ravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Ramadava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Ramadava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prabhajakacharya Stotra Satya Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prabhajakacharya Stotra Satya Shri Srimad His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnav Rinda Ki Jai ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sekaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Babu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Yamuna Mai Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktivinda Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, The Status Quo, chapter 21, Conversation Between Manu and Kardama. And today we're doing 37, 38, and 39. We'll do 37 together. I mean, regular, responsively. Tasmin sudanvan ahani Bhagavan yat samadishat Upayadashamapadam Mune shanta vratasyatat Tasmin sudanvan ahani Bhagavan yat samadishat Upayadashamapadam Mune shanta vratasyatat Tasmin sudanvan ahani Bhagavan yat samadishat Upayadashramapadam Mune shanta vratasyatat Tasmin sudanvan ahani Bhagavan yat samadishat Upayadashramapadam Mune shanta vratasyatat Ahani Bhagavan yat samadishat Upayadashamapadam Mune shanta vratasyatat Van ahani Bhagavan yat samadishat Upayadashamapadam Mune shanta vratasyatat Tasmin sudanvan ahani Bhagavan yat samadishat Upayadashamapadam Mune shanta vratasyatat Bhagavan yat samadishat Upayadashamapadam Mune shanta vratasyatat Tasmin sudanvan ahani Ishat Upayad ashramapadan Mune shanta vratasyatat Word for word translation. Tasmin on that. Sudhanvan, O great bowman Vidura, Ahani, on the day, Bhagavan, the Lord, Yat, which, Samadishat, foretold, Upayat, he reached, Ashramapadam, the Holy Hermitage, Mune of the Sage, Shanta, completed, Vratasya, whose vows of austerity, Tat, that. Translation, O Vidura, they reached the hermitage of the sage who had just completed his vows of austerity on the very day foretold by the Lord. No purport, I'll read 38 and 39 myself. Yasmin bhagavato netran yapatan ashrubandava kripaya samparitasya prapaner pitaya brisham tadvai bindu saronama saraswatya pariplutam punyam shivamrita jalam maharshi gana sevitam. Yasmin, in which, Bhagavata, of the Lord, Netrat, from the eye, Nyapatan, fell down, Ashrubandava, teardrops, Kripaya, by compassion, Samparitasya, who was overwhelmed, Prapane, on the surrendered soul, Kardama. Arpitaya, placed upon. Brisham, extremely. Tat, that. Vai, indeed. Bindusara, lake of tears. Nama, called. Saraswatya, by the river Saraswati. Pariplutam, overflowed. Punyam, holy. Shiva, auspicious. Amrita, nectar. Jalam, water. Maharshi, of great sages. Gana, by hosts. Sevitam, served. The holy lake, Bindu Sarovara, flooded by the waters of the river Saraswati, was resorted to by hosts of eminent sages. Its holy water was not only auspicious, but as sweet as nectar. It was called Bindu Sarovara because drops of tears had fallen there from the eyes of the Lord, who was overwhelmed by extreme compassion for the sage who had sought his protection. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Kardama underwent austerities to gain the causeless mercy of the Lord. And when the Lord arrived there, he was so compassionate that in pleasure he shed tears, which became Bindu Sarovara. Bindu Sarovara, therefore, is worshipped by great sages and learned scholars because according to the philosophy of the absolute truth, the Lord and the tears from his eyes are not different. Just as drops of perspiration which fell from the toe of the Lord became the sacred Ganges, so teardrops from the transcendental eyes of the Lord became Bindu Sarovara. Both are transcendental entities and are worshipped by great sages and scholars. The water of Bindu Sarovara is described here as Shivamrita Jala. Shiva means curing. Anyone who drinks the water of Bindu Sarovara is cured of all material diseases. Similarly, anyone who takes his bath in the Ganges also is relieved of all material diseases. These claims are accepted by great scholars and authorities and are still being acted upon even in this fallen age of Kali. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschita Desha Tarine. Hare Krishna. This is I don't know if transition is the right word, but we're moving into a new part of the pastime. Manu and his daughter are about to arrive, and Here these verses are setting the scene very nicely. I also wanted to say, although, you know, going through the third canto, it's been heard a million times, how much I really love the relationship between Maitreya and Vidura, and how it's so, their relationship is so great, which allows all of these amazing things to be discussed, philosophy and pastimes. Just like Maitreya is addressing Vidura as Sudhanva, a great bowman. Interesting that in Manu Samhita, which is, Shruti Shastra Ninda, I don't want to offend the Vedic literatures, but Manu Samhita is very concerned with caste. And in that book, this word Sudhanva is used as a word describing one of the mixed caste. So, but here, it's being used, and Prabhupada's translating it that way, and I'm also presuming that Maitreya is thinking of it that way, not that, oh, you're a mixed caste, like Duryodhana did when he drove Vidura out of the house. But, oh, you're a great bowman, you're qualified. So it's nice they have that friendly relationship. Maitreya, who's a great sage in his own right, and his cursing is at least partly responsible for the defeat of Duryodhana in the Battle of Kurukshetra, all done by Krishna, but his curse also contributed. And so Maitreya, a great sage in his own right, he's a disciple of Parasara, who's a disciple of Vyasadeva. And Vidura is the son of Vyasadeva. So they have that very close relationship, one by guru lineage and one by blood lineage or family lineage. But Vidura by age is like the uncle. But their relationship is still friendly. And they're always offering respects to each other and praising each other. One time Maitreya, because he's more elderly, he even addresses Vidura as Vatsa, that, oh, my son. So they have this wonderful relationship. It just really helps expand everything that's going on here. But anyway, what's being described here is Kardama Muni finished his vow, finished his vrata. The word used is shanta vrata. Prabhupada translates shanta as completed. But we also know this word shanta also means, you know, peace or peacefulness. So completed because, you know, he's done with the vrata, but also shanta vrata because it's completely satisfied. When the goal of your vrata is satisfied and you've attained peace, then the vrata is finished. Not finished just because of some time scale or because you get tired of it, but this is really finishing it. Just like when people say, oh, I want my desires to be satisfied. And ordinary people think that satisfying your desires means, oh, you get what you want. I want this food and I get it and I'm satisfied. Or I want this mate and I get him or her and I'm satisfied. Or this money or this power and I'm satisfied. But that's not really satisfying the desires. Rather, actually, it's the opposite, dushpradena nalena cha, that it just makes the desires burn like fire. But really satisfying them, just like the sage Kardama Muni satisfied his vrata, is when you attain the mercy of the Lord, and then you get what you really want, what you really need, which is the mercy of the Lord, the causeless mercy of the Lord, not this thing or that thing. So shanta vrata, his vrata was satisfied. And when was it satisfied? Exactly on the day that the Lord told Kardama, I think it was a few verses back, he said, the day after tomorrow, this will all be done. And exactly on schedule, Bhagavan Yat Shama Adishat. That means Krishna foretold exactly what was going to happen, when it was going to happen, how it was going to happen. So in every religion, or in most religions, I don't know every religion, this is standard element of a definition of God, omniscience, right? God is all-powerful, God is all-knowing, God is all-good. So omniscience. So Krishna knew this was going to happen the day after tomorrow. So how he knows everything, this is the second definition or description of the Lord in the Bhagavatam. After Janmadhyasyayataha is Anvayad Itaratas Charteshwa Bigya, that he directly and indirectly knows everything that is going on in the universe. So Krishna knew that. And when did he know it? Did he know it when he went to see the sage? Oh, but when he went to see the sage, he said, I already know about your desire. So he knew it before then. So he always knows what's going to happen at every instant. Today, yesterday, a million years ago, a zillion years ago, Krishna knows what's going on. I'm not going to try to reconcile that with the determinism, free will, and all of that. I'm not going to bother with that. That's a fool's errand trying to straighten all that out. But just we understand that both are there. We have our free will. Sometimes it's more than we think. Sometimes it's less than we think. But ultimately, Krishna knows everything that's going to go on because he's the most intelligent. And directly and indirectly, he knows everything that's going to go on. So he knew what the sage was going to do, what the desires in his heart were before he even asked. And because he was such a great devotee, and because it's part of his plan for the population of the universe and the appearance of Kapila and so many things going on, because Krishna is also chatura. This is one of the qualities of Krishna from Nectar of Devotion, that he's clever. And being clever means that he could accomplish many, many different things by one single action. So Krishna knows everything. He knows the desire in Kardama Muni's heart. He knows the desires, I'm ashamed to say, in my heart and in all of our hearts. He knows it. And he's always known it, and he'll continue to know it, which brings up the question, if that's the case, what's the purpose of praying for something? What's the benefit? What's the goal? What's the understanding of praying for something? And in 99% of cases, that prayer, I read one Catholic analysis of prayer, and they use the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, which stands for, I'm trying to remember, maybe I have it written down, or maybe not. Oh yeah, ACTS, A-C-T-S, A is for adoration, so prayer adoring or glorifying the Lord. C is confession, that you're confessing something to the Lord. Prabhupada also says that in Nectar of Devotion, he quotes one prayer. Srila Rupa Goswami quotes one prayer, that, oh my Lord, when I confess to you and think back of all my sinful acts and sinful desires, I'm simply ashamed. Prayers of thanks, gratitude to the Lord for everything and anything that he's given us. And the final one is supplication. Supplication means when you're asking for something. So specifically, this supplication prayer very often is very materially contaminated, that I want something, I need something, I want it, so okay, I'm pious, I'll ask Krishna for it. Just like in the very famous college program at Ohio State University, with Srila Prabhupada was there with Allen Ginsberg, and Prabhupada spoke, and of course, those who know this history, it was a huge program, and the students were singing and chanting and dancing in ecstasy. A huge, huge program. And then Prabhupada spoke, and they also really loved that. And he started talking about praying, and he said, just like it said, our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. And Prabhupada, he practically screamed. He said, that is not love of God. That is love of bread. And all the students were actually cheering at this, really appreciating what Prabhupada was saying. So supplication, this is the danger of supplication, that it's not about Krishna, it's about what I want. Prabhupada also talked about during World War II, all the women of Europe went to their churches, oh God, please send me back my husband or my son or my brother or my father from the war. And when he said, when so many of them were actually killed in the war, then they all became atheist because, oh, God didn't grant their request. So this is supplication. So the interesting thing, let's see, Kardama Muni never actually came out and said to Krishna, give me a wife. Actually, long time ago, in a previous yuga, when I was a younger devotee, and I decided I was starting to think about getting married, so I approached Niranjana Swami, who was a friend and a guide, and I asked for advice. And he told me, you read and study this chapter, chapter 21 of the third canto, and more specifically, you study text 28 and the purport to that. And he gave me the instruction to study that in preparation for getting married. And he's very compassionate and intelligent, Niranjana Swami, and I've referred back to this section many times over the years. And Kardama Muni never said, Krishna, give me a wife. What did he say? He said, oh, there's so many foolish people in this world with their material desires, and they want this and they want that, and they're desiring this and that. And then he said, oh, by the way, I'm also one of those fools that I was just talking about. So it's a subtle difference, but it's an important distinction, actually. The distinction between asking Krishna to fulfill your desires and submitting your desires, or submitting yourself, warts and all, at the lotus feet of the Lord, including your desires, not asking for them to be fulfilled, but submitting them at Krishna's lotus feet. It's a subtle difference, but an important difference, I think. In text 15, earlier in this chapter, Prabhupada says in the purport, Kardama Muni expressed his material inability and desire before the Lord. So he expressed it, but little different than begging for it to be fulfilled. And then in text 28, he writes in the purport, the fulfillment of desires, therefore, should be entrusted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the nicest solution. If we depend on the choice of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we will receive benedictions in greater opulence than we desire. So this is the difference between focusing on the desire and focusing on surrendering to Krishna, even, like I said, warts and all, even we have the material desires. But if we understand a little bit about Krishna, we know, number one, like Kardama, he already knows what our desires are. And number two, he knows how to fulfill them better than us, which may be more than we desire. It may also be less than we desire, or in a way we hadn't even thought of. But just like Shanta Vratasya, just like the fulfillment of the Vrata, ultimately Krishna's ultimate purpose, which is why we surrender that decision to him, is his purpose is to purify us of those desires. That's why we submitted to Krishna instead of begging. Prabhupada talked about the mentality of the demigod worshippers in particular, although a Vaishnava can also have this wrong mentality. This is from a lecture. He's saying, Dhanam dehi, rupam dehi, rupavati baryam dehi, yasho dehi, 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 dehi. And he explains, after worshiping goddess Durga, we ask all these benedictions. Give me money, give me beautiful wife, give me reputation, give me strength, give me victory. Durga Devi gives you, but that is not actual happiness. So this is the criticism Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita of the demigod worshippers. They're less intelligent because they're after these desires. But the intelligent devotee submits those desires to Krishna and allows Krishna to deal with them as he sees fit. This is what Kardama did. And that's why, even though he may have had some kind of desire in his heart, Krishna still not just benedicted him, but blessed him and shed tears of pleasure, of ecstasy, of compassion at the sage's mood in doing this. So this is the right way to deal with material desires, that we don't chase after them, but we also can't ignore the fact that we have them. So we submit them at Krishna's lotus feet. This is what I am. This is where I'm at. I'm very sorry. Like in the nectar of devotion prayer, even being a little ashamed is good. But submit them, Krishna, you take care of it. So this is nice. And like I said, it takes some finesse. It takes some understanding also, because we also can't use that as an excuse to maintain desires, that we submit them to Krishna, and that's accepted and glorious, but that doesn't mean we keep them, we maintain them. If we maintain them, then we're in danger of other kinds of faults. The karmendriyani samyamya yaaste manasaksmaran indriyartan vimudhatma mityacharasa uchite. That if you keep the desires in your heart, yes, we submit them to Krishna, but if at the same time we're maintaining them, even if we're behaving nicely on the outside, then mityachara, we're a cheater. And vimuda, we're a fool. Just like in yesterday's class, Sunday's class by Srila Prabhupada, he explained this word vimuda. And he said, mudha means rascal, and vimuda means particularly rascal. So everything takes a little finesse. Everything takes some careful consideration, some introspection and honesty with ourselves, some guidance from senior devotees and friends who can advise us. So all of these things together allow us to nicely progress in our devotional service, even when we have material desires. Let's see. So we submit everything before Krishna for his approval. And like it said, because of that, Krishna appreciated so much that he gave him the princess of the world for his wife. And he appeared himself as his son, Kapiladeva, and everything was so beautifully and nicely arranged. And Krishna was feeling so compassionate to this devotee that, okay, he has this desire, but he's submitting it all to me. This is also one aspect, at least, of Atmanivedanam, of the processes of devotional service. Atmanivedanam means surrendering your Atma. So a pure devotee surrenders his Atma, means he's only focused on serving Krishna and loving Krishna and thinking of Krishna and meditating on Krishna and preaching about Krishna. But if we're a little conditioned, we could still do, this is also Atmanivedana, okay, in my heart, I have these desires, I have these impurities, that also I'm surrendering to you to take care of. And Krishna was crying tears of ecstasy, creating this Bindu Sarovar. Very interesting, in the text 38, in the purport, Bindu Sarovar, therefore, is worshipped by great sages and learned scholars, because according to the philosophy of the absolute truth, the Lord and the tears from his eyes are not different, just like drops of perspiration form the Ganges. So when Prabhupada says philosophy of the absolute truth, he's pretty obviously, I think, referring to Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, that anything coming from Krishna, Shakti Matayor Abheda, that Krishna's energies and expansions and whatever comes from Krishna is also Krishna. So therefore, this Bindu Sarovar is so sacred, and all the sages go there. I guess it's in Gujarat somewhere. I don't know if anyone's ever been there or what it's like nowadays. But another name for this Bindu Sarovar is also Matru Gaya. Gaya, we know Gaya in Bihar state, I think. Famous place you go for doing pinda, for doing the respect to the forefathers, right? In Gaya, even Mahaprabhu went and met his spiritual master. So this is Gaya. This Bindu Sarovar is called Matru Gaya because not only the great sage and so many sages did their vratas and austerity there, but Devahuti was also there after the birth of her son Kapila. And she arguably had a more amazing and wonderful relationship with Kapila than Kardama Muni did, who left after the birth of his child. But Devahuti got to actually speak with him and ask questions and present so much amazing philosophy and great understanding. And at the end of that, she also gave up her life at that Bindu Sarovar. So therefore, it's called Matru Gaya, and people, maybe to this day, still go there to do Pinda specifically for mothers. So Matru Gaya. So anyway, this is Bindu Sarovar, this amazing, wonderful place, because it's identical with Krishna. Krishna and Krishna's expansions. And if you could go there and touch that water, Shivamrita Jal, this is nice, Shivamrita, it's auspicious, it's nectarian, because it's Krishna, because it's coming from Krishna, because it's one with Krishna. And if you touch it, you're touching Krishna. Just like we had Nityananda's appearance, and there's that a nice song where Prabhupada explains in the purport, I don't have the exact words, but he says, Nityananda is, Nitya means eternal, and Ananda means bliss. So if you somehow or other can touch Nityananda, you also become eternally blissful by touching him. And so many times, Prabhupada also gave the example of like the electric wire, that if you touch the electric wire, immediately you become electrified. So if you touch Krishna, you become Krishnaized. Let's see. Last time I gave class, I also briefly mentioned the five very important activities of devotional service, by which even a little attachment to them could bring you to the stage of bhava. The Nam Kirtan, Satsang, Bhagavat Shravan, Maturavas, Archamurti. Chanting the holy name, associating with devotees, worshiping the deity, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and residing in the holy place. So why are these things so powerful that even a little bit of contact with them brings you to the stage of bhava? Because like Bindu Sarovar, if you touch these things, you're touching Krishna. Like Nam Kirtan. Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita that when a devotee chants Hare Krishna, Krishna and his internal energy are dancing on the devotee's tongue. That's touching Krishna. Even materially, senses, like if I look at something, I'm looking at the Murti of Srila Prabhupada, I'm not touching, but through the medium of the, you know, my sense of vision and the light rays reflecting, it's a way of touching. Therefore, what's that? Yehi samsparsha ja bhoga. This means the senses are sparsha, are touching the objects of the senses. And of course, when that's done materially, dukkha yonaya evite, it's a cause of suffering. But when we do it to Krishna, or things that are manifestations of Krishna, or Krishna's expansions, then it has the opposite effect, that we become purified even to the stage of bhava. Chanting the holy name, what to speak of worshiping the deity? Prabhupada said that there's no one more fortunate than the pujari, because they're directly, literally, obviously, I don't want to use the word externally, but obviously touching the body of the Lord. So what's more direct than that? Touching the body of the Lord. And Srimad Bhagavatam, what does Prabhupada say? One can derive from the study of the Bhagavatam all benefits that are possible to be derived from the personal presence of the Lord. So Bhagavatam, the holy dham, if you touch the dust, if you touch the water of the Yamuna, if you circumambulate Govardhan, or the temple is also the dham, you come to the temple, you're with Krishna, you're touching Krishna. I remember, little side bit here, one time I was on Purikram in Vrindavan with His Grace Dina Bandhu Prabhu leading. And we went to one place and the pandas said, oh, this is the place where XYZ pastime happened. I can't even remember what it was so long ago. And then we went to another place and the pandas there said, oh, this is the place where this XYZ pastime happened. So I asked Dina Bandhu, I mean, you know, how certain can we be of all these, you know, one panda says this, one says that. And he said, at least three things, no doubt about. The dust of Vrindavan, the water of the Yamuna and Govardhan Hill. That there's no question. But anyway, the Holy Dham, this is another way. You're touching Krishna. You're touching Krishna's body by visiting these places, by coming to the temple, by doing service. You're directly in contact with Krishna. What's the other? A devotee association. You may think, oh, you're not associating with Krishna. You're associating with devotees. But Krishna says, Naham tishtami vaikunte yoginam hridayeshuva tadgayanti madbhakta. Krishna says, I'm not in Vaikuntha. I'm not in the hearts of the yogis. If you want to find me where my devotees are together chanting my glories, madjita, madgita, prana, right? So that's where you find Krishna. So if you're associating with devotees, not just hanging out with devotees, but actually the spiritual association with devotees, you're with Krishna, you're touching Krishna. So all of these things are happening. And this is the program. Prabhupada gave this program for touching Krishna, for contacting Krishna. The deity worship, the chanting, the preaching, the Bhagavatam class, the service, all of these things, the holy dhams, the temples, to give us a chance to touch Krishna. And just as Krishna was crying tears of compassion for Kardama Muni, that, okay, he has these desires, but he's approaching me, he's submitting to me, then he was so in ecstasy that he was crying tears of ecstasy. And Krishna's like that with us. If we also submit ourselves, that, okay, I have these desires, as fallen as I may be, like, again, when I think of all my offenses and sins, I become embarrassed, I become ashamed. But if we submit that to Krishna, we can also attain that same mercy that Krishna wants to give us. The very first line of the purport that's also interesting. Kardama underwent austerities to gain the causeless mercy of the Lord. This almost seems contradictory or a little oxymoronic, that you do austerities to get the causeless mercy of the Lord. So do you have to do austerities? Is that the cause? Or if it's really causeless, why do you have to do austerities? So the point is, it's causeless mercy because we're not qualified for it. But if we submit ourselves to Krishna, that submission means I'm ready to accept your mercy. When Kardama Muni, instead of begging, Durga or anyone for a wife, that Uma, right? That's in the Bhagavatam. Uma for a wife and sun god for health and this for this and that for that. Instead of doing that, he said, this is my heart at your lotus feet. And so he's not making a demand for Krishna's mercy. He's not even earning it. He's just indicating to Krishna that I'm ready for it, that I'm ready for your causeless mercy. So this is at least one aspect of how it works. And so we're doing these things, these different acts of devotional service. I'm doing, to some degree, trying a little bit, and very inadequately. And I'm not on the stage of bhava, and I'm not attaining these things, because these things also need, like everything, it needs some quality. Not just do it mechanically, not just do it irregularly, but really doing it. And if you're at that stage like me, that you're sort of, half-heartedly, doing or not doing very well, and you're not at the stage of bhava, there's still another option open to us. And I was thinking of this because last Friday or Saturday, was it? When Pundarik Prabhu gave class, and at the beginning we sang Ohe Vaishnava Thakur, and that line, Amito Kangal, Krishna Krishna Boli, Dai Tava Pache Pache, that when you have no other option, that I'm not even able to honestly submit myself at Krishna's lotus feet, there's still an option, and that is you run after the devotee, the actual devotee who has attained that, and you're crying and running after him, pache, pache, behind, and going, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Because when you approach that devotee crying for Krishna, Prabhupada also said in another place, that if you ask for Krishna from the devotee, that the devotee can give you, like in your hand, like just like you ask for something, give me a sweet or give me a whatever, and you could place it in your hand. So Prabhupada said the devotee can do that. Place Krishna just like putting something in your hand, and then you're also touching Krishna. So this is the option. We do that, and if we do that and keep on trying, that eventually, fingers crossed for myself, eventually then your heart will awaken and your practice will awaken and your introspection and your honesty, and you'll really be able to submit to Krishna and really be able to do these things in such a way that you're actually touching Krishna. And when that happens, then your purification will be really accelerated. And, you know, externally through the deity worship, internally through meditation. Just like recently I was hearing in Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu's Bhagavatam study group, we were reading in the Rasa Leela how at the end of the Rasa dance, Parikshit Maharaj asked Shukadev about the propriety of it. Oh, Krishna's dancing with other men's wives. And one of the arguments given in answer to that by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was the gopis were already embracing Krishna constantly and intimately within their hearts. So what's the big deal if afterwards they also embrace him externally? So internally, externally, everything, ridvagva porbir means internally and externally, right? That in your heart, with your words, with your body, doing all of these processes of Krishna consciousness that Srila Prabhupada gave to us, we have faith, and not just faith, blind faith, but faith and understanding and examples like Kardama Muni that it'll work. Okay, thank you very much, everybody, for your very kind attention. If there's any questions or comments or discussion, we can do that now. Yes, Prabhu. Mother Ragatmika.
Prabhu, I really appreciate your making that distinction of not just pleading for some result or some wish to be fulfilled in our prayer, but to submit in a mood of almost repentance, you know, our fallen state. However, we do, right here in the temple room, on occasion, when there's a need for prayer, someone's having surgery or something like that. Is that different because devotees are praying for another, as opposed to I'm approaching Krishna on my own behalf for myself? Is that even though it's for a basic result of success in the surgery or whatever? You get it?
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's a great question, great point. And maybe a big topic, but praying for the devotees, I think Krishna would appreciate. I can't say, you know, how much, I mean, can you measure, you know, if I pray for you to, you know, pass your grade in a class or pray for you to get health, that may or may not happen. But the prayer itself, because the purpose is different, because the purpose is pure, the benefit of the devotee, therefore, Krishna will appreciate, and however he decides to arrange that, the devotee's heart will be purified. One example, painful example I could think of is in Srila Prabhupada's last days on earth when he was in Vrindavan. And at one point he was near the end, he seemed to have resigned himself to, okay, I'm here in Vrindavan, I'm sick, I'm going to die and return back to Godhead, and no lamentation. He was doing that, and he was practically not eating, not drinking, nothing. But all the devotees were feeling so sad, so depressed at that. And then gradually in the course of discussion, the devotees were asking Prabhupada, you know, you're going to go, you're going to stay. And one devotee said, oh, it's up to Krishna. And Prabhupada said, no, Krishna has given me, I don't remember the exact words, has given me the decision to make. So they said, well, then stay. If it's your decision, please stay with us. We, you know, we can't live without you, whatever. They said, we have still so much guidance we need from you. And Prabhupada said, okay. And then for at least for some time, he started eating a little more, drinking a little more. His energy and health seemed to improve. So that's the prayer of the devotees. They were praying to Krishna so strongly, so intensely. But ultimately, I mean, could we materially judge that prayer? Well, after that was in September, and just 2-3 months later, Prabhupada left us anyway. So the point is that Krishna has his plan, but we pray to Krishna in ways that are conducive to our benefit, our spiritual benefit, and the benefit of others. So if it's from the heart like that and not for sense gratification, I think a prayer like that is beautiful. At the same time, recognizing that it still has to be done as Krishna wants, not necessarily what we want. Does that help at all? Is that anything else?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So many points in your class. I thought you were going to say when Prabhupada became ill early on, I think it was San Francisco, and he told the devotees, you can pray, my dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, please cure our spiritual master. So I put that phrase on practically any prayer, even when they ask in the temple, let's chant Hare Krishna, and I'll within myself or out loud, if you so desire. Because as you were saying, he knows our past, present, future. He knows what's best for us. And he wants to arrange things in such a way that we come back to him. So that's, yeah.
Yeah, nice. That's a nice meditation to keep our prayers, you know, with a good understanding. I like that. Trivikram Prabhu wants to.
Thank you for a wonderful class. A few points. The Manu Samhita is a Dharma Shastra and was much more pertinent during the pure ages, and especially during the ages of the Varnashram system. But it's a very essential scripture. But for Kali Yuga, it's like a little too much for us, really.
Yeah. Can I just throw in a brief comment here?
Yeah.
That one devotee was once talking to Prabhupada about, I think, translating Manu Samhita. And Prabhupada wasn't very enthusiastic about it. He said, if you go to Manu Samhita, according to Manu Samhita, you're all mlechas and yavanas. So yeah, if you go to Manu Samhita, your devotional life is finished. Yeah. So don't go.
Yeah, it's for another age, like I said. The other point is Kardama gained the mercy of the Lord after meditating for like 10,000 years, you know, and thing. So I'm thinking like for us, it might be easier for us to also gain the mercy of the Lord if we try to follow the instructions of Prabhupada and the program he has set up. You know, and that program is like rising early, attend the programs in the temple, you know. I think that'd be easy. And I'm not, you know, pointing fingers really, but I've noticed like we have, you know, like a lot of devotees like to speak, you know, but you never see them for any program, you know. Again, I'm not trying to point finger at anybody, but I've noticed and observed that, you know. And I just hope that we can become more conscious of these things, because it becomes more solid and practical when we talk the talk and walk the walk.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Oh, thank you for the nice class. I heard it explained, I thought very nicely, it clarified a lot in my mind that Well, we have a service to do, like chant Hare Krishna, come to the programs, deity worship, so forth. And that's our job. And Krishna's job is, when we do that, then he does all the work and purifies us and makes the arrangements in our life that are necessary so that we can grow. So ultimately, like you were saying in your class, Krishna's in charge, and it's his desire or his will. And by tapping into that will, by chanting Hare Krishna, then our life becomes auspicious and perfect. Thank you.
Nice. What's that? Shraddha Shabde Vishwaskari Sudradhanas Chai Krishna Bhakti Koyale Sarva Karma Kritai. That just you do devotional service and everything else is taken care of. Yes, Prabhu.
Very nice class, thank you. Few points, but I'll just focus on one. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, Vaishnavera avedane Krishna dayamai ehena pamara pati habena sadai. Technically, Krishna does not associate never with Maya. So even somebody goes through a terrible, whatever, miserable or challenges, whatever, Krishna cannot understand what that person is going through. But if Vaishnava appeal on behalf of that person, then Krishna, just to please the Vaishnava, release that person.
Nice.
That's why it is necessary to appeal to the Vaishnavas to pray for us. It's a very logic. Yeah. Another way also, other point you made, very nice. I believe it's in Madhulila 17.23, in the purport Prabhupada writes, if somebody don't determine not to do for something, whatever, even controlling lust, even Krishna cannot protect him. That's very scary. Krishna is almighty, but he doesn't want to do. If I don't want to get out of this bad tendency or whatever it is, Krishna will not protect.
Yeah.
So we should be very careful.
Yeah, that's nice because, like you said, Krishna is doing everything, but we also have our responsibility.
Correct.
To take part and to make ourselves open to Krishna, you know, doing everything that he wants to do and plans to do for us. Yeah, nice.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very, very nice class. I noticed as a mother, I'm always praying for, you know, either my husband or my daughter. And I realized, you know, recently that sometimes when I pray, I said, you know, this situation need to be rectified. But then I was thinking that the situation is changed if your heart doesn't, it's not changed. So I find myself praying, oh Lord, please let me learn the lesson why I am in this difficulty or why the situation is like this or why do I see it like this. So I'm not, so because the difficulty will come again, and if I haven't learned the lesson, I'll be going through the same thing. So I noticed I was in some situation recently, and I was surprised when I was praying. I said, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this situation? If you so desire, bring me to another. And I find, I literally found instant peace because, you know, I wasn't trying to let the situation go away. I was just trying to see what is the lesson I have to learn here. How is my spiritual life going to benefit here? And I found so much, like almost so much energy, so much strength to just, oh, wow, it's not such a big thing, you know. And especially when I pray for my daughter, especially, every morning she up, when she wakes up, she said, Mom, can you pray for me today? And I always say, why does she want me to pray for her? And then one day I asked her, actually just a couple of days ago, I said, why do you want me to pray? Why don't you pray, honey? She said, don't you know that Krishna, if you pray on behalf of it, I thought, oh, okay. So now when I pray, I said, Lord, whatever she needs to know or whatever is going to bring her up, please let it happen. You know, just want to share that.
Yeah. That's beautiful. And also, I mean, as your daughter intelligently understood what prayer is, but it's also prayer to Krishna. I was thinking as you were saying that is also an expression of love between us and another devotee. If we're praying for that devotee, we're always submitting to Krishna, but it's also a way of expressing love between devotees. So I think that's also a nice way of thinking of it. And also it's hard. I mean, even the residents of Vrindavan, when there's some great danger, some demon, oh, Krishna, save me. So out of love or out of extreme distress, these kinds of things may come up, and sometimes it takes a little time for us to have the presence of mind to understand what's going on. But actually, another thing is that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary on Anyabhilashita Shunyam that these kinds of things that spring up, oh, Krishna, save me, in some extreme distress or some extreme situation, or even like Kardama Muni, he had some desire in his heart. This does not necessarily cancel the principle of Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Kamadhyanavritam. Yes, Anyabhilasita. He explains that Anyabhilas means all other desires. Anyabhilasita means all other desires that are very deep-rooted and motivating in our heart. So desires may come and go, but if they're not supplanting our desire to serve Krishna and our rejection of jnana karma jnanavritam, if we're not covered by jnana and karma, then even those passing desires that come and go are not the end of the world in one sense. That it's natural, it's to be expected, as long as we remember that our motivation ultimately is serving Krishna. But that's nice. I think it's amazing that I also pray for my son's well-being, but to have that presence of mind to also remember that, not just praying for him, but that it's up to Krishna. That's very nice. Yes, quickly, because it's...
Yes, very nine. Quickly. No, when Guru Prasad was telling, it made me remember when Namamrita, her daughter, was a tiny little girl in Vrindavan. And sometimes after Mangal Arti, she'd be right next to me, and we'd both be paying our obeisances, and I was completely distracted by this tiny little voice from this tiny little girl's. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. I couldn't even pray my own prayers. You know, but look, she's absorbed so much that she knows, even she's not always visible here, but she is when she can be, teaching at the school and knowing that the devotees' prayers are more potent than her own. It's just really nice to hear.
Yeah. And that also comes from good training, good upbringing. I can't remember if I heard it from you or from your husband that your habit was every day, every evening, to read a chapter of Bhagavad Gita with the whole family together. Is that correct? Yeah, I can't remember if you or your husband told me that, but that's that kind of training. That's what that gives. So it's very nice. Okay, thank you very much, everybody, for your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. What's that?